Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First. It's Thursday, February 19th, 2026. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Thanks for being here with us. Got a couple of things to talk about today. We've got the action already underway through the first round of the Honda LPGA Thailand. The Magical Kenya Open on the DP World Tour is underway. Their first round is done. And we've got the start of the Genesis Invitational out at Riviera Country Club. If you listen to my golf betting podcast, The Press, you will be happy to know that Tom Hoge is off to a great start. Now, after I've said that, it will probably end horribly. That all said, I want to talk about a couple of things related to that, to the Genesis Invitational, but not necessarily directly to the action that's happening. And I want to specifically home in on Tiger Woods and some of the things that he said earlier in the week. Not so much about his return, although he did float the possibility of coming back at the Masters, and I think that's always, I mean, that's been the tentpole of his entire career is, are you coming back at the Masters? At least the post-back injury era of his career, so basically a decade at this point. And, I was going, oh, I'm looking at the Masters, maybe the Masters. Yeah, that's whether he's healthy or not to get out of a car and walk 18 holes somehow. That is like the bare minimum. If he can play the Masters, that's the standard he has reached. We'll see if it gets there, but more importantly, these days, and Eamon Lynch kind of got into this comparison or thought in a column he did for Golf Week this week, but his more important capacity these days is, frankly, on the PGA Tour board, right? He's got a near-permanent seat, and no one's going to kick him off, and he and the rest of the board of PGA Tour Enterprises and PGA Tour Inc. are trying to figure out what the future of the PGA Tour looks like. And does that involve a massive schedule change? When does that happen? And what does it look like? And I think some alarm bells were raised when Woods used the phrase fewer cards in his comments. And I think they were misunderstood, and Eamon wrote about this to a degree. And I think the sentiment is correct. He wasn't saying that there were fewer cards in aggregate, but more ways to get them. So fewer cards for the Korn Ferry Tour, fewer total exempt players from 125 to 100, but they're still going to keep the 20, they're still going to keep the 10 from the DP World Tour, they're still going to be PGA Tour U and Accelerated. Those things are going to be out there. Those are your pathways to the PGA Tour. I don't think anything's imminently changing. However, there does seem to be this idea that they need to get away from a 40-event season and have it not play out from January through August, but rather have it play maybe February-ish through August, effectively lopping a month off the season. And I feel like all the complaining and whining and gnashing of teeth about this is to be expected, and it is somewhat warranted, right? It sounds like the original ideas floated were to cut down the season of the FedEx Cup, the 37 events, down to more like 24 or 25, and to space those out a little bit differently. Now, some things to consider in that messaging that really kind of started over in the fall portion of 2025, and Harris English kind of talked about it, but not really. But you have to remember, if they cut the PGA Tour season down to 24 events, for example, you're still going to have the four major championships. So now you have 28 events, right? Those aren't going anywhere, but the PGA Tour doesn't control them. So they don't think of them as PGA Tour events. They're there regardless. So now you have 28 events. Now you're killing like 9 events. Well, you've got some oppos, right? You've got Puerto Rico. You've got the Dominican Republic. You've got Myrtle Beach. I think we only have 3 anymore, but those 3, you've already lost Barracuda. Maybe that was on the list. So now you've got 4 of those. Those are gone. So you went from 4, 37 events, right? Well, you had to add in 4 for your 24. For the 4 majors, you had the 4 that would go away because you wouldn't have oppo events anymore. Well, that's 8. Now we're down to 29. We've got to get rid of 5 tournaments to get to this magical number that everyone seems to kind of harp on. But I think Tiger threw a wrench in all of that in saying, one, this is going to be a multi-year process. Whatever is happening right now in the boardrooms, in these long meetings, in these conversations, is not going to be decided by the time they release the 2027 PGA Tour schedule. So at best, this starts in 2028. And part of that is a variety of things, right? You've got all of these sponsor contracts, many of which are not expiring, right? They're into the 2030s at this point. The PGA Tour announced Genesis is extending its run as title sponsor at Riviera through 2030. So that's another 4 years, right? Well, really 5 years. So 4 years, sorry. 4 years. So you've got them extending. You've got AT&T extended. You basically, everybody that we were worried about when LIV started has pretty much extended. I think RBC is still kind of your holdout there. But other than that, they're in really very good shape. And so how do you, I guess the one that comes up is Rocket Mortgage. Well, they kind of would probably want to get rid of Rocket Mortgage anyway, given where it is on the schedule. Not because of the city or the support. That's the city of Detroit seems to love it. It's supported very well, but it's in a very lousy place in the schedule. Same thing with 3M. Very well supported in the Twin Cities. And yet, you know, it's got a not so great field every year because it is in that period between the Open Championship and the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs where people just aren't, you know, stars just aren't playing that often. They are golfed out at that point. So do you keep those events? Do you shuffle them around a little bit? You know, what has to move? Do you stay at PGA National, for example? What about Valspar? Valspar seems permanently on the fence, even though I really like the tournament. You know, you could go find some other ones and maybe move sponsors around or what have you. But cobbling together a radically different schedule, even accounting for the four majors, and you still have to get rid of, at that point, nine total tournaments. You got four oppos, so five more. That's a lot. That's a lot to do, and it's not something they're just going to do willy-nilly for the reasons I've already talked about in terms of the money, but also you've got the sponsor commitments, and you've got a body of players who are already rattled, if you're not a superstar, wondering how you're going to have access to tournaments and what that's going to look like in this newfangled PGA Tour schedule. And I know there are lots of ideas out there about what to do. You could take the oppos and you can move them to the Korn Ferry Tour and bump the Korn Ferry Tour purses to like $4 million, which I, as a supporter of the Korn Ferry Tour, would like to see. But then what do you do with the other ones? You just drop them as dead weight. What does that look like? Who knows? Are all the tournaments all of a sudden $20 million and 100 players or 120 players or whatever it is? What does that look like? If that's the case, then that pitch to all of the rank and file, so to speak, is easy. You go, not only are we getting you more money per tournament, you're in every tournament if you have a PGA Tour card. Okay. Now that's an easy yes. If you told, sorry, Billy Horschel, if you told Billy Horschel he was playing every event and it was every event was $20 million, except the players, it's 25, and the majors, you get in, you figure it out, then yeah, I think you could convince them to be behind that. I don't think that would be a hard sell instead of going, well, playing for $9.6 million at Phoenix, $9.6 million at Torrey, and now you've got, well, Torrey's in flux because Farmers is out, but you know, things like that. But instead of that, just going, every week it's $20 million. There's no oppos. If you've got a card you're in, it's very clear cut. However, we're in a fewer tournaments, which means you're going to have to play in all of them. And wherever we say, whenever it is, you have to play in it. Otherwise, you're going to fall way behind. You cannot play, but you might fall way behind. And I think that would draw a lot of rave reviews. How do you get there? Do you get there? I don't know. Can you go convince sponsors that their purses are currently, again, in the $9 million range, $10 million range, to effectively double their spend with the PGA Tour to be a part of this series? I don't know that you can do that, and I'm sure that's part of the conversation happening right now is, all right, would you, 3M, pony up $10 million more dollars a year so that we could have a $20 million purse for your tournament? But in exchange, we will guarantee you at least 35 of the world top 50 are competing in your event every year moving forward. I don't know how that conversation goes. 10 million seems like a lot to me, but to 3M, maybe it doesn't. and it probably doesn't. Probably seems like a rounding error. But you know, those conversations have to happen. So I'm very curious where that goes, and I think it's interesting that Tiger kind of pumped the brakes a little bit on, all right, well, how quickly is all this going to change? I don't know. We don't know where we are. We haven't decided anything yet. We're still figuring all of that out. And I think Brian Rolapp came in with this idea of, hey, we've got to make the PGA Tour product rarer, harder to, you know, fewer of it, fewer events. Not an event every week that you fall asleep to at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, but an event that when you watch it, you know you want to watch it because there might not be one next week. There might be one in 2 weeks or something like that. And they're all jam-packed and they're all great and they're all stars. You got to tune into every one of them. That's what he wanted. And I think that the kind of golf voices in the room went, hey, man, like, first of all, the F1 model doesn't always work. And two, this is golf. This is different. We've got economic issues we've got to deal with. We've got longstanding contracts we've got to deal with. We've got a lot of things to work out, even though sometimes the PGA Tour acts like contracts are not worth the paper they're written on when it suits them. So we'll see what happens there. But I thought it was interesting that Tiger kind of put the brakes on all of that and said, hey, like, whoa, not 2027, maybe 2028. And even then, it may not be that different in the end. So stay tuned on all of that. The other thing I thought was interesting is, again, Tiger being floated as the guy who is going to be the 2027 Ryder Cup captain at Adair Manor. And that it's out there for him, and he's in talks about it, and Keegan Bradley wants him to take it. But Keegan Bradley probably had no conception back when he took, you know, just before when he got the random phone call that you've been offered the job, that anyone other than Tiger was going to take Bethpage, right? Back in the day, it would have been automatic Phil Mickelson. The second he went to live, that was done and dusted. So then Tiger went in his place because Tiger's won at Bethpage, and he's Tiger. And he said, you know, I got so much going on. I got TGL. I got the board stuff. No, thank you. Well, those things really haven't changed. TGL is still around. I know it's in its second season, but there's also still the board stuff. There, you know, now you've got a new CEO and Brian Rolapp. You got to figure all that out. Can you get away from that to commit to doing this job the proper way, full time, and making sure that you get out to events and you talk to guys? And yeah, you have a lot of that access through TGL, so maybe that helps things. You can still play in enough events or go to enough events. You got to go to some anyway. They're probably board meetings at some events. I know they're probably, a lot of them are probably in the headquarters in Ponte Vedra, but or remote. However, he's still going to have those kinds of interactions. I think the Adair Manor connection would be interesting. I think he really would prefer to do an away one instead of a home one. I think about what he did with the President's Cup. Chose to do it away at Royal Melbourne and wanted to play. And he did. And then beat Abe Anser. And I think that his connection to Ireland, particularly Adair Manor and JP McManus and that Pro-Am event that he's played in forever when he's been healthy, that I think is a connection that intrigues him. I think it makes it interesting for him. I think it's easier to be a road captain in some respects because the expectation is less. You're not expected to win on the road. The Americans haven't won on the road since 1993. If he does prove successful and does win on the road, it turns out he's like instantly in GOAT captain status for the Ryder Cup. I mean, that's where Luke Donald is now. He won back-to-back after just taking the job because Henrik Stenson decided to go to live. Now he's like a GOAT captain, right? GOATed guy. Tiger could be in that company as a captain if he can rally the American cause, go to Adair Manor, and figure out a way to win. And again, on paper, the Americans are going to look pretty good, but they're not going to look so much better than the Europeans. I think I would like to believe that the days of where we go, oh, but the Americans look so good on paper, are over. We've done that enough times in my lifetime. I go, well, the Americans should win. They look so much better. They're better on paper. Well, we don't play the matches on paper. And the Europeans have proved time and again on foreign and domestic soil that they have our number. So does Tiger want to step in and go, all right, let's fix this. I've got Scottie Scheffler. Right now I've got Colin Morikawa playing well, but we're obviously a very long way from 2027. Who knows where things will be then? But you can assume Scottie Scheffler is still going to be world number one. In fact, I think he probably has such a lead in the official world golf ranking that barring something insane happening with Rory, Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa, or Justin Rose, he's going to be the number one player a year from now, almost guaranteed. It's crazy. But who do you have behind him, right? Who are those players that are going to be relevant? And is Tiger interested in that, or is he just kind of like, what about 2029 kind of thing? So we'll see what happens there. But I do think it's interesting that Keegan Bradley is making the push for him to take it. I think it would have been better had he taken it for Bethpage. But again, the thing that Keegan Bradley talked about, and he didn't kind of crap all over the PGA of America in doing this, although he kind of did, and he should have, bigger, which was this idea that they called him to do it and blow it all up, and then they took away kind of the institutional knowledge that was being built in the Ryder Cup committee era, post-Ryder Cup committee era, of doing things kind of the same way in hopes that he would change things up somehow and magically make it work better. And instead, they put him in a position where he had no help and really no one to kind of guide him in the process unless he sought it out. And that put him behind the eight ball. And meanwhile, you have Luke Donald and Francesco Molinari basically moneyballing their way to back-to-back Ryder Cups. I think it'll be interesting to see if Tiger wants to get involved in that, especially if I would imagine there's going to be quite a bit of backlash to the American fans' behavior in 2025, in 2027 at Adair Manor. The Irish are great people. They're lovely. They can also drink like mad, and maybe they get a little lubed up and cause a little ruckus. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out, but you have to consider that possibility. A strong possibility. You got to be prepared for it so that when your guys get over there and you get over there in 27 in the fall, you're not going, oh man, I'm so surprised the Europeans are mean to us. Also, no matter what you think of politics, the politics between the Americans and the Irish who are part of the EU or the British who are on their own, but either way, the politics are not good there right now. That relationship is strained at best. And there will be quite a bit of anti-American sentiment above and beyond it just being the Ryder Cup in 2027. Is that something Tiger wants to deal with? I don't know if he does or not. I think at some point he's going to be the Ryder Cup captain. It's just when he decides it works for his schedule. Literally the second he says, I can do it, they will give him whatever he wants to let him do it. He's going to get to do it at least once. I would bet that the PGA of America would prefer him to do it back-to-back. He probably will never agree to that. So you get one run with this guy, make it worth it, right? And probably the PGA of America is thinking, well, yeah, we'd love for you to do it in 27, but if you do it in 29, that'd be even better because we can sell even more tickets. We can sell $1,500 a day tickets instead of $700 a day tickets, you know, those types of things. Even though Tiger's not going to hit a shot, they could think about that. Also, and one last thing before we go. I thought it was interesting that Tiger did talk about the difference between playing the PGA Tour Champions and playing the PGA Tour, where he would refuse to use a cart on the PGA Tour, even though the Casey Martin precedent exists and he could do it. And I really don't think anyone would particularly care because he's Tiger Woods. And it's not like he's going to, no offense, it's not like he's going to win an 83rd title riding in a cart. That means your back is probably not in good enough position where you can ride the whole, you know, walk the whole thing, which is obviously his preference. So let him ride. Who cares? But he will not do it out of principle. However, he will happily do it on the PGA Tour Champions, which leads me to believe he is strongly considering making some kind of foray into the PGA Tour Champions when he can. And maybe he says, yeah, I can play the Masters. I can gut it out. Who knows what happens there. But after that, I think your next Tiger watch is, does he play the U.S. Senior Open? Does he play the Senior PGA Championship? Something like that. Like, he's not going to play, no offense, the Ally Challenge. That's not coming, even though he's won at Warwick Hills. But that's not coming. What's coming is I can play four of the five, three of the five senior majors, and maybe one or two others, like the Insperity Invitational. Insperity sponsors him now. I don't think that's by accident. So maybe he goes and plays that in May. If he could play the Masters, okay, cool. See you in May in the Woodlands at the Insperity thing. Ticket sales would go through the roof. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But so this is a very Tiger-centric episode. Not typically going to work out that way. Still trying to feel out the best ways to kind of do a Thursday show because stuff happens over the last 2 days. And there's frankly not as much interesting stuff to talk about on Wednesday and Thursday Thursday the golf tournament start. Wednesday things kind of die down a little bit unless something breaks or something weird happens. But we'll try our best to kind of keep this Thursday show interesting and in the kind of 20-minute range, catch up on a couple of things, some thoughts on what's happening in the world of golf, and then get you out of here and get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. We'll be back over the weekend with another show. We'll see what's happening at Riviera. We'll see what's going on in Thailand and Kenya. We've got the Masters to start thinking about pretty soon. Almost inside 50 days at this point. We're getting there. I think at the end of this week, it'll be inside of 50 days. So it's coming quicker than you think. And that's pretty exciting. You can email me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on social media at Ryan Ballingy or Ryan Ballingy Golf. I'm on Blue Sky at ryan.thegolfnewsnet.com. Golf News Net is on any social media service at the handle Golf News Net. We'll see you over the weekend. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you next time here on 2 of the First.